M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as welcome as can be.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Mickey Mouse,
Mickey Mouse,
Mickey Mouse,
Mickey Mouse.
Forever let us hold our banner high,
high, high, high.
Come along and sing a song and join the jamboree.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Here we go, a-marching and a-shouting merrily.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
That's right. You need a little evil burst in there, Tim.
It gives me the shivers just listening to it.
I know. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not flipping out. You're actually listening to Darkness Radio. We are delving into the weird of, or the world of the weird and paranormal. And, you know, as so many have requested, let's stay away from Ghost of the Week stories and UFO of the Week stories. So we're going a little outside of the plane of normalcy here, Tim.
A little.
And our guest tonight is going to be joining us here in a few seconds. His name is Walter Bosley. And Mr. Bosley is an author, publisher, formerly a counter-espionage specialist with the FBI and a special agent of the AFOSI. And Bosley has provided anti-terrorism personnel security consulting to customers in a global venue, as well as explored archaeological pursuits along the way. He founded the Lost Continent Library Publishing Company in 2002, through which he publishes classic and pulp-style adventure fiction, as well as a popular monthly magazine of the same name. And Walter Bosley, along with Greg Bishop, are the authors of Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom, which is a book that presents evidence that the original Disneyland theme park was engineered to function as a psychotronic device serving to expand human consciousness and possibly open doorways to alternate dimensions. Mr. Dennis, what do you take of that?
I don't put anything past Walt Disney.
Yeah, they are a crazy group. Now, you...
You know, you brought this topic up to me, you know, earlier this week, and I started thinking about Disneyland in itself, and there's something that really creeps me out about Disneyland in particular. And we had our Gary Patterson on a few weeks ago. You may recognize this in the background.
It's a small world.
No, this is creepy.
No, really?
This song is creepy to me. When you're riding this ride.
Why?
Can you hear this?
It's happy, Tim.
No,
it's happy
no,
children
there's,
singing,
there's
loving.
There's minor keys in there, and it sounds a little freakish. So, you know, after reading R. Gary Patterson's book and we were talking about rock and roll and backmasking, I thought maybe there's something in this song, while you're riding this ride, It's a Small World, that could be sending you subliminal messages.
Really? You think it's that dark?
I think so.
Okay.
I really get a bad vibe from this.
All right.
So what I did is I actually reversed the track.
Okay.
And believe it or not, this is what I got.
Mickey Mouse is God. Bugs Bunny is the Antichrist. Donald Duck started the bird flu. I think Minnie and Goofy are having some sort of interspecies affair. Man, this evil thing is hard. Well, I gotta go. All hail Satan and Seacrest out.
See?
You know what? That confirms so much, Tim. Now I know when we leave the park that song stuck in our head.
That's why.
And Seacrest happened to be the overdub?
Who knew?
That is crazy stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Our guest for this evening, Walter Bosley. Good evening, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, I got this book you had sent out to me a while ago, and it's been sitting on my shelf, and I started reading through it. And I mean, it's a fascinating read. You know, when you first strike up the idea of it, it just seemed like, oh, my gosh, this guy's coming out of left field. I mean, what drugs is he smoking to come up with this theory? But as you start to make your piece throughout this entire book, it's gripping, and there's a lot of information. You just can't, you can't just dismiss it. Now, this is, let's give a little background again. I mentioned some of your personal background, but how did you get into researching Disneyland and finding these certain patterns that you were able to put together?
Well, it started, this book started specifically, the idea one night. I occasionally sit in with Greg Bishop on his podcast show, and we were goofing around talking about, you know, strange things as we do and conspiratorial stuff. And the conversation came around to Club 33, which is the exclusive restaurant, membership-type restaurant in the park itself. You know, you can buy a membership, but there's a long waiting list. It costs thousands of dollars a year to be a member, that kind of thing. It's the only place in Disneyland where alcohol is served, and it's, you know, fine dining, that kind of thing. And we were wondering, you know, how did Club 33 get its name? And there's a couple of stories. You know, there's one version that the 33 comes from the 33 original companies that were investors in the park, because in the old days of the park, companies would invest and their companies would actually by name be the sponsors of the attractions and stuff. And that's one of the stories out there. The other story is that Walt Disney was a 33rd degree Master Mason, which through my research, I found that is not true. I'd like to dispel that once and for all. I mean, there's books and there's it's all over the internet, and I guarantee you, I'll be surprised if somebody doesn't call in tonight dead serious and they know that Disney was a 33rd degree Master Mason, but it's not true, it's nonsense, it was a rumor. So we thought, well, okay, well, the 33 companies make sense, but in looking up Disneyland on the internet, we found out that it was located at the 33rd degree of latitude. And what's interesting was that a lot of other areas known to be, you know, sites of strange phenomena being sighted are also at the 33rd degree of latitude. Actually, between 30 and 40, but at 33, you'll find the Great Pyramids. You'll find several other megalithic locations around the world. Also, Dallas, where the JFK assassination was. And if you're wondering, well, what does that have to do with strange phenomena, I will just simply refer you to James Shelby Downard's Kill King 33 essay, and that will tell you everything you need to know about how the occult is present or evident in the JFK assassination. But all these things are at 33rd degree of latitude, and voila, there was also Disneyland. And we coupled that with the experience I talk about in the book, and that's when I began to really delve into it and discover, wow, you know, SRI and this guy C.V. Wood, and the deeper I dug, the more I found, in the sense of, you know, being somewhat convincing.
Well, let me ask you this real quickly. Reading through your background a little bit, you mentioned that your father's Air Force service exposed him to facts about the Roswell crash.
Mm-hmm.
And now that also happened in the 33rd parallel, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what if anything was your father able to confirm or deny for you about the truth of Roswell?
Well, I've actually written an article on that under my pseudonym EA Guest that appeared in Fate magazine back in April of 2005 and was in their Best of Roswell collection, by the way, that was released last year, that's a whole thing that, number one, it was not extraterrestrial. The craft was not extraterrestrial. But according to him, it was equally as amazing. It was definitely from Earth, but it was from another civilization here on Earth. And as I said, I talk all about that in that article in Fate. And, you know, I've talked a lot about that in the past.
All right. So let's go then back into the latitude 33 line. Now you're talking about ley lines, correct?
Yes, but let me qualify that. The term ley line has come to encompass more than just the specific definition of the straight path lines that are between megalithic sites in ancient Europe and other places. Those are ley lines, of course, by definition, but it has expanded to also mean this grid that is allegedly around the planet that is made up of energy, like electromagnetic energy, that goes through the land and actually forms. It's part of the geomorphology of the terrain. It forms mountains and bodies of water and such. And it's just in a big web network all over the planet. The term ley line is used for those lines, too. Another term is mass cons or massive concentrations.
Okay.
So we're going to be using the term ley line through the whole conversation, and that's what I use in the book. But I just want people to understand exactly what we're talking about and that we know the difference.
Now, this, you actually had something that occurred to you in 1980 when you were at the park. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you give us a little background on that?
Yes. I'm at the park and with some friends from high school, a group of us, and we go there, and it's not a summer month, and it's in the middle of the week. I think we had like a day off from school or something the next day, so we all went to Disneyland. And back in those days, the late 80s or the mid 80s, you bought the ticket books, the A through E ticket books, but they also offered the unlimited passport ticket, which
right.
Now when you pay admission, you get everything unlimited. Well, back then you had to buy that special passport ticket. And this was also the days of, boy, during the week you went to Disneyland, by 6 or 7 o'clock the place was greatly, not empty, but not crowded. You know, I remember walking in back areas of the park and you'd only see 2 or 3 people, which you never encounter that today. So I was there with my friends. This was, you know, call it the good old days, when it wasn't a headache to be there with the crowds. And between 9 and 9:30 p.m., we all had the unlimited passport tickets, by the way. So we had done everything we wanted, you know, 10 times. And we decided to ride the carousel. And we get on the carousel, we're going around, and I noticed this old man, white hair, white beard, black suit, white shirt, no tie. And he's standing, for those familiar with the original Disneyland in Anaheim, he's standing on that pathway that is between the Dumbo ride and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And this path, if you follow it, takes you back to where Alice in Wonderland is and on to the Matterhorn and on back to Small World. And so the gentleman was standing there on the path, and he was watching the carousel go round and round, and he just was just wide-eyed, watching it like a kid. And, you know, 3, 4, 5 passes, he was there. And then on the final couple, he was gone, I noticed. So we get off the carousel, and we head back that way, just decide to go in that direction of the path where he was. And there he is sitting on a bench. And, it was one of those things I just felt compelled. And I had two friends with me, two people that witnessed this. I just felt compelled to strike up a conversation with the old man. Found out his name was Alfred. This was his first time at Disneyland. And he had only one ticket left, and that was an A ticket, which, you know, means you can ride the horse carriage or Small World, you know. Just, you got your choice of a couple of things.
Okay.
And so we decided, well, you know, let's go ride Small World with the man, because I showed him on his ticket, you know, well, this thing over here you can ride. So we go ride It's a Small World, of all things, with him, and he's just in awe. You know, the song is, and I'd like to thank you guys for that little part in the beginning, because now if Disney's going to sue anybody, they're coming after you guys.
That's right.
So, thanks. But we're on Small World. This guy is just in awe of the place. He's just watching wide-eyed, you know, and we get off the ride, and, you know, the park's going to be open for about an hour and a half. I've been there a million times because I live in Southern California. I know I'm going there a million more times, and here's this old guy. I figured I put him around 70 years old. I figured, you know what, this is his first time here. He's probably not coming back. He's not from the area. So I took my unlimited passport, and I pinned it, because we would wear them pinned to our shirts like kindergartners, just because in those days you had to keep pulling your ticket out, and we didn't want to fool with that. So I pinned my passport ticket to his lapel, and this guy was just elated that I did this. He couldn't believe that I would give my ticket to him. He just was thanking me profusely. He was just giddy. And I said, hey, with that, you can ride everything you want, as many times as you want. You still got an hour and a half before the park closes. And off he went, back into Fantasyland, his happy old man, and me and my friends, we went off to Tomorrowland just to kill some time, you know. And I figured that was the end of it. You know, I was nice to an old man, you know, I was a Boy Scout, you know, it was my good deed, you know, all that. And for years after that, I would think about this guy, and I had this impression, you know, that was kind of an odd little episode. There was something odd about this guy or different, but I couldn't quite, you know, put my finger on it. And then by 1992, 12 years after, you know, this originally happened, I learned that maybe I was right.
Right, because this gentleman actually turned out to be somebody involved in knowing what ley lines were and the exploration of that, correct?
Very possible, and we discussed the possibilities in the book. And I will say this, I've said it before, my personal favorite choice, whether it's the real answer or not, my personal favorite choice out of all those discussed in the book would be if it really was this gentleman in question. And, you know, that's something I'll get to later. But it's possible. That's one of the possibilities.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more Walter Bosley, too. If you have questions for our guests, you can give us a call tonight at 800-270-5560. Again, that's 800-270-5560. Play us out with a little bit of that backmasking, Mr. Dennis. You're listening to Darkness Radio.
Mickey Mouse is God. Bugs Bunny is the Antichrist. Donald Duck started the bird flu. I think Minnie and Goofy are having some sort of interspecies affair. Man, this evil thing is hard. Well, I gotta go. All hail Satan and Seacrest out.
Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Our ghost this evening is Walter our guest this evening is Walter Bosley, and we're talking about his book, Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom. It's an investigation into the arcane science of hermetic engineering of Disneyland. Mr. Bosley, getting back into your book and discussing some of the intricacies and some of the strange stuff that you found about the park. Now, what? Give us a background of why would they build here? What made this parallel? Why this location? What's so powerful about why being here is where we want to open up portals and dimensions and open our minds? Or perhaps not. We're having trouble with the phone line here. Hold on. Tim's going to bring up again. Let's see. And Mr. Bosley, are you there? Well, Tim, we seem to have cut the line, so why don't we give him a buzz back, and we'll try to get Mr. Bosley on with us. Hey, guys, make a quick mention to you again. Join us out at my birthday celebration. We're going to be out at the Mentone Inn in Mentone, Alabama. We're going to be out there on November 22nd from all day long. You can come out there. It's only $25 for a ticket. If you're interested in being a part of it, then you can come on out and ghost hunt with us. You get to actually listen to a couple of different talks about the paranormal. I'll be out there. Deborah Collard will be out there from Haunted Southern Nights, and she'll be talking about her book as well. So hopefully you'll join us. You can call in at 800-455-7470 so you can get a room at the Mentone Inn. You can also get some information as well on tickets, 800-455-7470. And I also recommend joining us at the Anoka Halloween Parade on October 25th. You can come on out and spend some time with Tim and I. We're going to be out at the Anoka Halloween Parade. We hope that you'll join us. It's a lot of fun. Just a cool little parade to be a part of. You'll get to see Tim and I and shake hands, be a part of it, and just come on out and support Darkness Radio. We'd love to meet as many of you as we possibly can. And it looks like Mr. Dennis has got the lines working for us again, so we're going to go back to the lines with our guest for this evening, Mr. Walter Bosley. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Bosley.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Now, let's talk again. Before we went to the break, we were discussing some of this. Why is this parallel? Why is this ley line so powerful? What were you able to find through some of your research? Why would this be a place that Disney, and do you believe Disney specifically chose this place, or did it choose him?
It was actually the specific site was recommended by the engineer at SRI. Walt and his brother Roy, when Walt got the idea that he was really going to commit to building a park. His original idea was a little amusement park right across the street from their studio office in Burbank. But he wanted to do something bigger. And he and his brother consulted the Stanford Research Institute, otherwise known as SRI. Now, this was the organization that went on to, you know, they were involved in developing things like backscatter radar and over-the-horizon radar. And they were involved in developing GPS. And probably most well-known among your listeners, remote viewing. That was an SRI thing. At least okay. It came out of guys who were with SRI. And they also did, you know, just basic engineering consulting as well, and business consulting. Very mundane type of stuff in comparison as well. And so they went to SRI, and the organization assigned the task to a guy named Cornelius Vanderbilt Wood, or C.V. Wood. He was an aerospace engineer, interesting guy, and he immediately took to the project. He was really intrigued with the idea of an amusement park. Never been involved in anything like that. So he did some his research, and he was the one that really recommended to the Disneys the specific location. Several locations throughout Southern California were considered, but that 160-acre parcel in Anaheim of orange groves was specifically what Wood suggested as the perfect place for Disneyland. So Walt Disney was so impressed with Wood that he hired him away from SRI, and Wood brought along several engineers to be part of his staff, and the Disneys made him the chief engineer of the park. Well, what's interesting is the book goes on to show is that Wood probably, I believe, knew about the fact that there is one major intersection of ley lines in Southern California, okay, and it's an intersection of three ley lines, and it is on the Disneyland property. And most specifically, it is in Fantasyland, and the carousel used to sit right above it.
Okay.
And what's interesting about that is Wood very likely knew about this intersection, because if there was ever an organization that would know something about these ley lines, it would be an organization like SRI. You know, the guys who, these are guys that are into wild and wacky, far out,
right, exactly,
beyond the horizon science, you know.
So this was, I mean, so they, it was specifically picked for this power. Were they trying to make it just, at that time, were they picking it as a place of just a powerful place for them to build this? Or did they understand that there was some more maybe metaphysical properties to this location as well?
Right now, as it is with the research, in the book, the evidence we found for the book, it looks like this metaphysical aspect may have been something that really only C.V. Wood knew what he was doing with it. Because there's a number of good reasons. Now, here's what's interesting. A lot of people would say, well, you know, look at Southern California. You know, Anaheim is smack dab in the middle. It's a great location. But you know what? That's hindsight. Back then, there was a gentleman named Harrison Price who was assigned with Wood to work the Disneyland project. But Price's angle was this more, you know, the more, like I was saying, mundane business angle of things like, you know, what's the population expansion going to be? What you know, is this a good place, you know, as far as business sense goes? And Price did give, you know, a positive projection for that location under those terms. The beauty of it was is that what Price probably didn't know and wouldn't know, couldn't know, was that these energies we're talking about with the ley lines, they are part of why certain areas tend to be gravitated towards. So it's kind of, there's a symbiosis there that I think C.V. Wood understood thoroughly. And, you know, he just convinced the Disneys, and then, you know, they went for it, and then he was able to do what he did on that site.
We have to take our second break for this hour, so bear with us, Mr. Bosley. We'll be back more with you. If you have questions for our guests, you'd like to talk to him about this phenomenon, about this location, give him a call at 800-270-5560. Again, 800-270-5560. We'll be back with more Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night with you from 9 to midnight. I hope that you'll join us and spend the evening with us. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can always check out the free downloads of the show on our podcast segment. Click on Darkness Radio, the podcasts. You can hear all of our shows going all the way back to August 24th. If you'd like to hear any of the older shows from the last 2.5 years, you can go to darknessradio.com, and there you can find in our archive section all of the past shows that have been there. Also, join us in the live chat room. We've got a bunch of great people to join us every week in the chat room. You can talk about the guests. If you have questions in the chat room, just direct them to Tim. Click on him and private message Tim with any questions, and our phone lines are open. And again, if you want to call from out of state, it's 800-270-5560. And we do have a call, Mr. Bosley. If you don't mind, we're going to take a call here from Wolf in St. Paul. Is that okay with you? Okay. I've got, who do we, Tim, on which line now? I've got Mr. Bosley. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, good. We're going to bring up our guest with Wolf. Wolf, you have a question for Mr. Bosley about ley lines?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead and welcome to the show.
Thank you. With the concept of ley lines being the magnetic poles or magnetic flows of the Earth, almost like its blood force, along those lines, do you think possibly that some of the issues we're having globally with the weather patterns could be related to us changing the way the ley lines are flowing, with pulling out the metals and building, you know, with the electrical currents that we're falsely putting up with the power lines and all that?
No. Here's what I think about all that and the planet and what's going on. What the Earth is doing, it has done for millions of years. It is cyclical. It has done it before we were here. It will do it long after we're gone. All of our SUVs, all of our electrical towers, all of our cell phones, all of them, all together, no, it is not affecting this planet in the way that people are being stirred up to believe it is. These ley lines and this power is far more powerful than anything we do. The Earth is doing what it has always done. And, you know, the warming thing, the Earth warms and cools, warms and cools, warms and cools. And it's doing it in a very normal way. And there is a, I don't know if you want to use the word hoax, but, you know, basically there's a new industry. They're trying to replace one industry with a new industry or other industries. And that's what's going on. And basically, a lot of people are being duped into believing that it's our technology that's doing all this stuff to the Earth. Our stuff, if anything, my research has shown that they're tapping into this energy, but nothing we do is causing what you're asking that it's causing. No, I don't believe that at all.
Wolf, thanks a lot for the question. And if you'd like to hold on the line, I'm going to have Tim take your information. We're going to send you out a copy of Wayne Herschel's book, The Hidden Records, okay?
Oh, I'd appreciate that.
Great. Thank you. And hold on. Thanks for being a part of the show with us this evening. All right, Mr. Bosley, let's talk, you know, doing the paranormal show that we do. You know, there's been rumors of ghosts at Disneyland, and I'm wondering with your research, have you found any of those stories to actually have any credence?
Well, as you know, the chapter in the book, we address the ghost issue, and I had really good conversations with a couple of researchers, Marla and Kevin James. They live right there in Anaheim, and they're two of the best on the Disneyland situation. And the information in that chapter, you know, a lot of it I learned from them. And basically, as far as the research of the book went, the ghost tales, there's some very good evidence related to, well, let me rephrase that. There are some good reports from people that worked there, people that, you know, had access to certain things that the guests don't have, and things they've encountered. As far as being able to corroborate it, I have not been able to yet, but that doesn't mean that if I didn't focus on just the ghost cases, the hauntings at Disneyland, that I might not find as strong evidence as I found with the other aspect that I did write about. To me, it would stand to reason with what I found, though, that there's a lot of ghosts there, because I agree with what Marla James suggested, is that they're drawn there. They would be drawn there if this device, if I'm right about this device, if it's really there and it's really working, as we believe it was, it's natural. If it's going to open up dimensional doorways, well, you know, ghosts are going to come through as well.
Can you tell us just at least one of the ghost stories that you were privy to from the insiders that you could share with us on the air tonight?
Yeah. There apparently is a little boy, I believe, with a red cap who employees swear they've seen on the monitors in the Haunted Mansion in the area where I believe it's where you disembark. You know, if everyone who's ridden the Haunted Mansion ride, you ride with the ghosts there at the end, the funny ghosts
right,
riding there with you, and then you get up, you disembark and walk on that conveyor belt, kind of like a Jetson's sidewalk. And in that area, apparently, employees have seen the little boy with the red hat, and he allegedly was a boy who was dying of cancer or something, and Disneyland was kind of like his make-a-wish trip.
Oh, okay.
And it is believed that after he died, his mother took some of his ashes and sprinkled them around the park.
All right, but again, there's no real solid evidence of that. It's just
no real solid evidence.
One of those
tale, I guess.
Okay. And again, if you want to call in and be a part of tonight's show, we do have, I think we got about 10 more copies of the hidden records that we can share with you as well. And we'll be giving them out throughout the show this evening. So if you want to give us a call at 651-989-5855. If you have a question for our guest, give a buzz in. Or if you're calling from out of state, it's 800-270-5560. Well, let's talk, you know, in the beginning of the book and in the beginning of the introduction, we talk about an investigation into the arcane science of hermetic engineering of mm-hmm. Disneyland. Explain for our listeners, a lot of the listeners that we're working with now are kind of newer to the paranormal radio show and newer to this whole genre. What is hermetic engineering?
Hermetic engineering, and the way we use it, is the engineering of occult knowledge and alchemy through symbolism associated with positioning built into the park and the experience of the park itself. That's what we mean by hermetic engineering. In other words, C.V. Wood, as it were, would be, you know, the sorcerer, as it were, and he built the park in a way with certain things in certain places and moving in certain ways and surrounded by certain symbols to work all together for a measurable result. That measurable result could be, you know, highly personal and in the subconscious, but, you know, to manifest in whatever way, depending upon the individual.
It almost sounds like a version of feng shui.
Yeah. If you understand feng shui, it's kind of like feng shui.
So it's just the positioning of these things to create the most powerful environment that you can around it, correct?
Pardon?
It's the positioning of certain objects or structures, lighting, colors, so that you can get the most power or most out of that area that you have.
Yes, and I exactly, and just like with feng shui, in my opinion, with Disneyland, depending upon the individual, a lot of this, the important thing to remember here is the result is greatly dependent upon the individual through which it is being worked. You know, you have your person who's totally just unaware. You know, technically ignorant. I don't like to use the word ignorant because some people, you know, it sounds like I'm saying they're stupid. I don't mean that. They're just truly unaware of certain things. To them, the things they would see, the symbols, you know, would definitely register in their subconscious, but that's where it's going to stay. Whereas, for instance, somebody a little bit more aware of what these symbols actually mean, especially their origins, they go there, they notice it, and they go, whoa, wait a minute, look at this, there's that, and look, it's all in conjunction with this. And then they experience the device, as I like to call it, and the result is prone to manifest a little bit more of a result on a more higher level of awareness, possibly the ultimate being, you know, a physical manifestation.
Let's take, in a second here, we'll take a break. And when we come back, I'd like you to talk to us a little bit about the interdimensional portals. I mean, this is where we start getting into the sci-fi part of the reality of this. And that, you know, I know a lot of the listeners, when I'd posted earlier today about this, just have a hard time understanding that there are ways to open dimensions and portals into these different places. So when we come back, I want to discuss that a little bit more and talk about the device. So just stick with us, Mr. Bosley. We'll be back with more. We do have some more questions coming in on the phone line, so stick with us. You're listening to Darkness Radio, and we'll be back with more and more about Mr. Bosley's book, Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom, right here on Darkness Radio. Hey, join Tim, Dave, Adrian, Susan, Nicole, Bree. We got the whole cast is going to be out at the Sox Center Palmer House Hotel on Halloween. We're going to be having our first annual Halloween party. It's free to attend. There is a cash bar. There'll be some snacks and foods that you can purchase there as well. Starts at 9 p.m. on Halloween. Come on out, meet with us, hang out, and meet the entire cast of Darkness Radio. We're going to have a great time. We're also going to auction off 10 spots. So at 1:30 in the morning, we're going to be able to ghost hunt the Palmer House Hotel, along with some of the members of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. So again, if you live in the Minnesota area and you have a haunting going on or strange noises and knocks in the wood, or knocks in your walls at nights, and you're getting a little unnerved, you're looking for help, go to TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. That's TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. They can help you. And join us by going to DarknessEvents.com and getting all the information. And there are phone numbers there for local hotels so that you can join us for the Halloween party. Tim and I hope that you'll join us out there and have a little fun. We're going to get back in with our guest right now. Our guest, again, is Walter Bosley. And we're talking about his book, Latitude 33, Key to the Kingdom, that he co-wrote with Greg Bishop. And just so we can give some of the newer listeners that are just popping in, again, we've been talking about ley lines, talking about what, you know, the hermetic engineering. Can you give just another quick little brief explanation? We've had a couple of callers during the break that wanted another explanation on what ley lines exactly are.
Well, the globe, everybody, excuse me, everybody's seen the graphic of the world, which shows horizontal and vertical lines crossing each other, representing, you know, a globe usually, okay? And if you think of that as a web or a network going around the globe, and you think of all those lines as flowing with a form of electromagnetic energy, that is what we're talking about when we say the ley lines. Now, they don't go in straight lines like that, okay? They meander. They greatly form the terrain, and they carry with it, you know, the energy that is very much probably involved with all processes of life. As a matter of fact, if you want the best description of ley lines, I recommend you read a new book coming out by an author named Sesh Hari. It's called The Handprint of Atlas. It's coming out a week from today, October 18th, at wonderoftheworlds.com. And that is probably one of the best, if not the best, book written on what I'm talking about. Mr. Hari really, really knows his stuff on this issue, and he puts it out there in terms that you will definitely understand.
All right. I appreciate that. Now, let's talk about the device, and mm-hmm. can we really open up portals to other dimensions, or is this just science fiction movie talk?
Well, did we split an atom and cause, you know, that tremendous amount of energy when we created nuclear bombs? Yeah, we could do that, and nobody could see atoms, you know, for the longest time. I would venture to say that an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb, is, you know, part of the evidence that, yes, we could. Also, are we not taught in school on a very basic level in science that light exists in a spectrum, some of which you cannot see to the naked eye, but it's there. Same as sound, okay? We know that there are animals that can hear certain levels of sound that we can't, that we can't register, but that does not mean that level of sound does not exist. You know, science has offered us many examples that would support the idea that there may be other dimensions, and certainly if they exist, we can get to them, and that's what opening a portal is. Now, if you look at dimensional space as a line, a spectrum line, like light and sound, really then to see different levels of light that you can't see with the naked eye, you know, we kind of can tune into that with devices, same as with sound. Well, why not dimensional space? It might be that the entities, the beings, the people who go back and forth between the dimensions just happen to have the technology to tune in to greater levels of the spectrum of physical space. So, based on that idea, then yes, I think the answer unequivocally would be yes, we could.
Well, now, what can you tell us about, you know, without giving too much away from your book, what can you tell us about the device at Disneyland, and what would be the what would be the reason or the purpose for creating a machine that can open up other portals and all, you know, alternate dimensions?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and as we asked it of ourselves, it really opened up a lot. There's multiple answers to that, and that's the beauty of this. Number one, keeping it on the immediate level with C.V. Wood, you have a man who had a lifelong interest in psychic abilities and human consciousness. Okay, this is a man who went on, who was part of the foundation of the founding of the Mind Science Foundation. Now, if you look up the Mind Science Foundation, you will see they're a very interesting organization involved with just these very things we're talking about in the book, as far as expanding human consciousness and understanding human consciousness and reality. And people like Dean Radin are involved with the Mind Science Foundation. Well, C.V. Wood was one of the founding members of MSF, okay? And, you know, so here's a guy who was very much interested in wanting to expand his consciousness to, you know, maybe being attuned to other dimensions and other levels of awareness and things on the hermetic level, as we say, or, you know, mental alchemy here we're talking about. So for starters, he had a personal interest in doing this just to see if it would work. And then once he, you know, would have seen that it worked, well, then what could he do with it? You know, what is there to explore? Now, another reason to do this would be to provide Mr. Disney with exactly what he wanted and more. And what I mean by that is this. Walt Disney wanted to create the greatest theme park ever, and he wanted people to go there. There's a reason it's called the Magic Kingdom. He wanted people to have a magical personal experience there. He wanted them, when he went there, to forget the outside world and to feel young again and to be lost, if just for a day, in this otherworldly type of experience. Well, Mr. Wood, we believe, with his device, could provide that for the guests. You go in, and with the device working, you know, it lends itself to that, always varying in degree, dependent upon the individual themselves. But, you know, it's there and available, you know, to tap into. Another reason to do it would be that other people aware of these things might have, you know, wanted to see how far they could take it. And when I say people aware of these things, people that are really into these things, wanting to maybe use it as a portal themselves to go back and forth. That right there is a subject for a complete other book. And it's something that I'm currently researching now.
But a portal to and from where?
Other, further out in the spectrum of dimensional space, possibly in you know, other dimensions.
So you mean besides European Disney, there's probably a Venusian Disney? Are we going to see that on another planet now?
I don't know.
We're going to take our break here for top of the hour. Doug, you're online. You'll be taken after we get back from the news break. And we'll wrap up with Walter Bosley and talk a little bit more about his book and tell you how you can get a copy. So stick with us. You're listening to Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio, every Saturday and Sunday from 9 to midnight. We'll be back with more and more of your calls right after this.